Hi everyone. Over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about things that we refer to as discipleship contexts, things that will help us as we develop a foundation for thinking about the different ways in which we can each live as followers of Jesus and encourage others to follow him as well. Today, we're thinking about the fifth and final one. Before we get onto that, let me just briefly remind you of the four we've thought about so far. So in the order we looked at them, the first one was what we refer to as the public context, where we're to gather together in groups like we tend to do on a Sunday morning, to meet together, to worship together, to pray together, to reflect on God's word together, and so on. There's the divine context, that amazing privilege as we realise that God wants a real living relationship with each one of us, and how we develop that into all the riches that God has for us. There's the transparent context, where we come together in a small group, maybe one, two, three other people, where we can be open and honest with each other, where we can be accountable to each other. We give each other the right to ask difficult questions of us about how we are getting on in our lives and in our relationship with God, where we can encourage each other in following Jesus. And then there's the social context, larger groups of people, 20, 30, 40 people, meeting in a social context, but with a clear desire and focus on thinking about Jesus, inviting others to join in and to get to know Jesus for themselves. And each one of these is vitally important and provides different ways for us to grow in our relationship with Jesus, to deepen relationships with each other, and to build life-changing relationships with those who don't yet know Jesus, to see God's kingdom grow. The fifth, the personal context, is another group setting, and it fits in size between the transparent and the social groups. Typically, it's a group of around up to 12 people who have a desire to grow in their relationship with God, who are willing to share something of what is going on in their lives, though not to the same degree as is possible in a transparent context. They're very similar to the house groups, to the small groups that have been part of church life for many years, but with a clear and intentional difference. And we'll think about that and the implications for us later. But first, as we've done when we've looked at all of these contexts, let's see how it figured in the life and the ministry of Jesus as we take Jesus and his engagement as our model for how we should live as we seek to follow him. So in that time, in that place, what did it look like? What happened in such a group? What was its focus? And the obvious group to look at is the 12 men that Jesus called to him, the group known as disciples with whom he spent so much time and in whom he invested so much. We read about this in the Gospels, where we find that there was a moment when Jesus chose 12 of those who, the wider group of people who'd gathered around him, and said, I want you to be with me, and I'm also going to send you out to do the work that I need you to do. So there was a being in relationship and being part of the work. So what do we see in these groups? One thing we see is they are places where we gain a deeper appreciation of Jesus. And we can see many instances of this in the Gospels. We're going to think of a time that many of you will be aware of when Jesus and his followers were in a small boat on the sea. There was a powerful storm. The disciples, many of whom were experienced fishermen and would have been out on this lake in difficult situations on many occasions in the past. It was so bad that they were afraid they were going to drown. They go to Jesus in terror. They've got to wake him up. He criticizes them for their lack of faith, and he acts powerfully. He speaks to still the storm. And the response of the men in the boat was to wonder about who Jesus was. We find this in Matthew 8:27, where it says, the men were amazed and they asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. As they see something of the amazing power of Jesus, as they experience his protection over their lives, they suddenly realize that he was much greater than they had understood before. And this is one of the great things that can happen in groups like this as we spend time in studying the Bible together, as we share stories of what Jesus is doing in our lives. We can gain a deeper appreciation of who he is, which leads us into a response of worship and praise. There are also places where we can grow together. Because one of the things that we see is happening time after time is Jesus bringing new and deeper insights to this group of people. It is in that relationship they learned so much about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. This is spelled out clearly in Mark's Gospel, where we find that Jesus tended to use stories, parables, illustrations to speak to the crowds. He would speak about farmers and merchants and shepherds and women looking for coins and family relationships and builders. He used these types of stories to speak to the crowds, and they had to work out what was behind what he was saying. But when he was alone with his followers, he gave them deeper explanation, deeper insight. Mark 4:34 says, he did not say anything to them, to the crowds, without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. So what we see in this type of group is it's a place where there's a shared desire to learn more about Jesus and what is involved in following him. And so a place where that can be the center and focus of our attention. And we see Jesus doing this in a range of ways. In John 13, for example, he demonstrates what true love looks like as he chooses to wash the feet of his followers. And then in verse 14 and 15, he just commands them to do the same. Now that I, he says, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Here Jesus was modelling good discipleship behaviour and challenging his followers to demonstrate this type of love to each other. They learnt what was expected of those who have chosen to follow Jesus. And they were challenged to put it into practice. On another occasion, we find this in Mark 9, when he finds his followers arguing about who was the greatest among them. He takes that opportunity and turns it into a teaching moment. He instructs them how things work in his kingdom, where the focus is not on lording it over others, but seeking opportunities to serve. In verse 35, he says, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Challenging words, countercultural words in his context and in ours. Words that were intended to change how these disciples lived and how they related to each other. It was about looking out for each other, about putting others' needs first, about being there to support each other through difficulties and challenges. So these groups are places where we can learn more about what is involved in following Jesus, both by reflecting on what the Bible says and by demonstrating it in how we relate to each other. They are places where we can and should be supporting each other as we invest in each other's lives. And these are things that have been happening in home groups, in small groups, in life groups, in churches throughout the world for decades. And something that is very important in the life of our own church today. Some of our people are involved in these groups and find them a huge blessing and an encouragement and a help. And they can be a real blessing to those who engage in them. But in the context of the call of Jesus, I think there is something that is missing in many of these groups across all churches and ways of being church. Because they tend to focus on two aspects of our relationship. And to help us think about that, it's worth thinking about a triangular model, where at the top we have up, our relationship with God. On one side we have in, our relationship with each other. And on the other we have out, our relationship with people who don't yet know Jesus. And these groups tend to focus on two aspects of our relationships. The up, our relationship with God. And these groups can really help us learn more about him, draw closer to him, develop the gifts he gives us through his Spirit, and much more. They also focus on the in, where we can strengthen and deepen our relationship with sisters and brothers who are on the same journey of faith that we are on, where we can be there for each other, where we can support and encourage each other, where we can celebrate success and come together in tragedy or failure. These are really good and important. But often the thing that is missing is the out dimension, where we are seeking to share what we have with others to encourage others to become followers of Jesus for themselves. But this seems to be an integral part of what we see modelled in the lives of Jesus and in the lives of his followers, and as one of the reasons why Jesus called them. In Mark 3, 14, 15, where we find this call, we find this reason explicitly mentioned. He appointed 12, it says, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Yes, the intention of Jesus was that they would be with him, and we've thought about some of what that would mean. But also, his clear intention was that he would send them out into the world to proclaim the kingdom of God, to tell people about him, to act in authority to address what is wrong in the world, to stand against the powers of darkness that have such an influence on so many people. And again, we see this happening in different ways. We're going to think about two of them. There was a time when Jesus saw a great crowd of people and chose to provide food for them. It's a story told in all four Gospels. He could have chosen to do this all on his own, but instead, he chose to involve his close followers in what he was doing. Matthew 14, 19, for example, tells us that he, that is Jesus, told the people to sit down on the grass. Taking five loaves and two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves, and then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Jesus was the source of this amazing miracle that took place, but his disciples were the ones he called to be the agents of blessing to the people. An amazing privilege to be part of what Jesus was doing, to be the agents through whom Jesus brings blessing. Think for a moment about what it would have felt like to be one of those disciples at that moment. An awareness that something special was happening and that they were right in the middle of it. A sense of unity as they worked together in obedience to the commands of Jesus. A feeling of satisfaction as they were able to bless so many people. And think about what it would have been like when they got together afterwards and reflected on it, when they spoke about it, when they discussed it over coffee or whatever they were drinking. A deepening of relationship as they realised they'd engaged in something significant together for the work of the kingdom. As they thought about opportunities to encourage each other, as they all reflected on what had happened and the part they had to play. And a sense of eager anticipation for the next opportunity to do something similar. So it's something that would have fed on itself. As they did that, and as they reflected on it and spoke about it, they would look ahead to that next opportunity to be part of what Jesus was doing in blessing others. These are some of the blessings that can follow as these small groups work together to do something of real significance in the kingdom of God in response to the call of Jesus and the prompting of the Spirit on their lives. And another way this happens is with Jesus sending them off to do things without him, but in his power. And we see this in Mark 6 and in Luke 9. In Mark 6, verse 7, we find Jesus calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. In Luke 9, verse 2, he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal those who were ill. Mark tells us they were sent out in pairs. Luke leaves us with the impression that they went out in a group. And whether they went out as a unified group, whether they were sent out in pairs from within the group, it is clear that they are to go in the power and the authority of Jesus and to do the same sort of things that he has already been doing, that they have seen him doing and modeling and demonstrating. And one of the really important things that these small groups can do is to seek to hear what Jesus is calling them to do and to be prepared to act in faith and to respond. So a key function of groups like this should be to reach out to those who don't yet know Jesus and encourage them to become followers of Jesus as well. To move out into the world and bring blessing and hope to those who are struggling and in darkness. It is important to recognise that this can be disruptive and it has the potential to change the group. As those who have come to know Jesus for themselves, those who have been helped may want to become part of the group for themselves. So the group dynamics might change. It may no longer be a group of people who have been following Jesus for a long time and understand something of what that means. But it becomes a group of people at very different stages of that journey. With those who have been in the faith longer, having the responsibility and privilege of helping new believers grow in their relationship with Jesus, and in turn, go out to encourage others to know Jesus as well. It also means that the group may grow to a size that means it can no longer function as a small group and may need to split. And this itself can be disruptive, meaning that we don't spend the same time with those friends we have known for a long time as we did before. So yes, it can be disruptive. But what an exciting thing to be part of, where we are working together doing what Jesus has sent us to do, where we have the privilege of seeing people blessed and coming to know Jesus, where we can help them grow into what it means to be a follower of Jesus, where we can see new groups forming and taking on new initiatives and ideas for bringing blessing and hope to others, where people can develop in their gifting and ability to lead. This is something of my heart and desire for these groups in the life of our church and for many more in our church to be part of them. Some will operate as standalone groups, or some will be made up of people who are part of missional communities, those larger social contexts, who want to spend time together in smaller groups as well. And together, as part of the whole church, we will be able to work together and encourage each other to see God's kingdom grow. And many people come to know and follow Jesus. It's a great thing to work for, an important thing to pray for. So please do think and pray about your part in this. If you are already part of a small group, does it need to change? And many of our groups have been thinking about this as they've explored a course called Inside Out that helps to think through those questions. If you are not part of a small group, would that be something you'd like to be involved in? To find ways of growing deeper in your relationship with Jesus, deeper in your relationship with others, and developing new opportunities to reach out and share your faith, to share what you know about Jesus with others. If you'd like to do that, if you'd like to know more about that, please speak with us. But let's recognize this amazing opportunity we have with small groups of people coming together with a deep desire to grow closer to God, to grow closer to each other, and to introduce new people to Jesus as well. Those 12 who experienced that as those close followers of Jesus saw things they would never have dreamt of, experienced things that were quite literally supernatural, were used powerfully by God to bring blessing to many. Let's look, let's desire, let's pray that same thing for small groups in our church, in our town today, so that many will come to know Jesus and experience the fullness of what it means to live in relationship with him. And bless you all.